Okay, as always, the Torah Shavuot Leilu Shmos from Geshem and Rabbi Leib. We start the new season of Sefer Bereishis with Parshas Noach. The beginning of Parshas Noach is a beautiful vort from Moshe Weinstein, where he says the pasuk in the beginning of the parsha tells us Eila Toldos Noach, Noach Ish Tzadik, Tomim Hoya B'Doreisov. Ask Moshe, what's the difference between a tzadik and a tomim? You know, nowadays, if you call someone a tomim, it's a derogatory term. But Noach, that was a tomim. So he wasn't just a tam, he was a tomim, he was completely perfect. He said, but what's the difference between a tzaddik and a tomim? He says, if we look through Torah, we'll see a tzaddik is someone who there were tainas that were leveled against him, but he became vindicated. He came out zakai. V'hitztiku es ha-tzaddik. As we say in Parshas Kiseitze, the person who was vindicated after going through his din. There were questions, but he came out as a tzaddik. A tomim is someone who there was never any question about him at all. Completely perfect. So if that's the case, then the Torah could have just said that Noach was a tomim. Didn't have to say that he was a tzaddik. He's a tomim. He never had any questions about him. Elamai, you have to say that in certain things he was a tzaddik, and in certain things he was a tomim. That would answer the first pasuk. Says Rav Moshe, however, later on in the parasha, a few pesukim later, when the Rabbeinu Shleilam doesn't talk about Noach, but talks to Noach, he says to Noach, "Ki oischa ra'isi tzadik lefanei b'dor hazeh." And Chazal tell us that he only gave him one title when he spoke to him. He should have given him the whole set of titles that he said about him at the beginning of the parasha. Answer Chazal, this is the aside, the Rabbeinu Shleilam teaching us that you can speak about someone not in front of him, all his shvachim. When you talk directly to him, mitzah shvachim shel adam b'fanav. In his presence, he only mentioned a few of the shvachim. If so, says Rav Moshe, this wasn't just a mitzvah shvachim. This is a huge decrease. If you're talking about someone who's a tomim, that means he's never had anything said, any query about him whatsoever. He's just so perfect. To then tell him, oh, by the way, you're a tzaddik, that's lowering his madrigas substantially. That's not mitzvah shvachim, it's mitzvah sheva mitzvah. So why was the Rabbeinu Shem telling him that you were a tzaddik? Says Rav Moshe that actually it's the other way around. If a person were to live on a desert island, secluded from everyone, living a life of a hermit, you're right, there would never be any tainas on him. He would be able to just be a closeted person who was tomim with absolutely perfect. So the Rav Moshe doesn't want that from us. The Rav Moshe wants every yid to be a mashpia. We're mashpia on our families, we're mashpia on people around us. And as soon as a person takes responsibility in Klal Yisrael and is mashpia on others, it's going to bring with it kriyas. It's going to bring with it, yeah. As Rav Moshe was obviously being mechazik someone when he said this, well, it's going to bring with it questions, and people are going to query, and people are going to say things. So about that, a person doesn't enter oneself into a chashad, as he says. But one shouldn't say, you know what, ma'ali l'tzara hazoi. So if I start getting involved in the klal, or I start doing things for others, I start trying to influence my family or people beyond that, it's just going to bring tainas. Forget it. I prefer to be a closeted tomim. He says, no, that's not what the Rabbeinu Shalom wants. And in fact, the Rabbeinu Shalom wants more, that a person should perhaps have a lower darga, but fulfill his tafkid as being a mashpia in whatever way he's been given to be mashpia on others. And therefore he says, that's when the Rabbeinu Shalom came to Noach. He says, I want you to know, you may not have reached tomim, but I didn't want that from you. Ki oischara isi tzadik lefane. I wanted you to be a tzadik, and I see that that's what you've become. You've become that by being involved with others. Yeah, and you were in a dora that, and you had to be involved with the people around you. You had to build this table for the last 120 years, during which people came and they asked why you're doing it, and you have to respond and tell them about what's going to happen, etc., etc., which made that you would engage with them. Unfortunately, unsuccessfully, but that's what I wanted from you. And therefore, says Rav Moshe, that's a higher darga. In fact, Chazal say this there's a Gemara that says that in Domei Rabbah Malach Elokim, if you see someone who you want to be a Rebbe and he's like a Malach, then that's the person you should take for your Rebbe. So I once heard a pshat in that often a person may think to oneself, you know what, I don't really have time to learn with that person. It's going to take away from my own shtagi. If I've got a limited amount of time that I can spend learning myself, and I start to learn with someone who is not on the same level of learning as me, or not the same level of whatever it may be as me, that's completely incorrect. When the Torah tells us to look for a Rebbe, we actually look for a Malach. What's the difference between a Malach and a human being? A person is a Mahalech. A Malach is known as an Omeid. He's static in his Madrega. Whatever Madrega he is, that's where he's standing. when I look for a Rebbe, I'm not looking for someone who's racing away from me, who holds himself to be on a much higher madriga. I'm looking for someone who's ready to shtel zechot. You know what? I'm going to teach him. I'm going to come down to him and teach him. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu therefore said that I didn't just call Noach a tzaddik, a tomim. Forget, I called him a tzaddik tomim. I preceded calling him a tzaddik before a tomim, because yeah, in certain things there were tainas from which he was vindicated, and therefore he's a tzaddik, but that precedes the Milo of Tommy. There's another beautiful medrash. The British Rabbi at the beginning of this week's parasha questions the pasuk, whose pasuk starts off, Ada told us Noach, Noach ish tzaddik. Rashi's famous question is, if you're telling me these are the descendants of Noach, and you proceed to go on to Noach ish tzaddik, Tom Hoi b'derosov, and only in the next pasuk you tell me about his children. If you're talking about his toldos, tell me about his children straight away. And so Rashi says, because Iker told the same, Shal Tzadikim Ma'asim Tovim, and the main product of a human being, and even of Tzadikim, is not their children, it's the Ma'asim Tovim that they do. The Medrash asks a different question. It could have said, Eile Toldos Noach, Shem Chom Vayefes, Eile Toldos Noach, Ish Tzadik Tovim Hoya. What's Eile Toldos Noach? Noach, Ish Tzadik Tovim Hoya B'Doreisa. What's the double Lashon of Noach? And the Medrash goes into a whole list of things. It says, Nicha the Doire, Nicha le shamayim, nicha la brios, nicha la oves, nicha le yelodim, nicha le this, nicha le that. The Medrash is telling us Noach was who he was because he was pleasant to other people. Eile toldos Noach. Do you know what the toldos of Noach were? Noach, that he was pleasant to others. That's how he had an effect on other people. What do you mean? He was a mechiyach. He told people off. It's not a stira. Not a stira, as we said on the Shana Rabbah, the story about the Chavetz Chaim, my favorite Radin story. Rabbi Gamliel Rabinovich says over his father was a Talmud in Radin, and there was one pharmacist in Radin who at that time before the war wasn't yet Shomer Shabbos. There was one pharmacist who looked after the whole area of Radin and its surrounding villages, and everyone who needed a remedy went to this particular pharmacist. So one time, the Chavetz Chaim knocks on the door of the pharmacy, and he goes, "This Yid, Rebbe, the God of Torah, hey, he knew who he was. Come inside. What can I make for you?" So he says, "No, sit down. I need to tell you something." So he sits down with the Chavetz Chaim. The Chavetz Chaim says to him, "Ich will euch sagen, ein Sach. Ich bin euch mekamen. I'm jealous of you." The guy says, "What? Jealous?" He says, "Yeah. I've been thinking about you the last few days. You look after all the Yidden in the area here. There must be umpteen Yidden, tens of Yidden that come to you a week. Each one, this one's got this ailment, this one's got this thing that's bothering them, this one needs it. And each one, you sit down, you make a remedy, you make a concoction. I have no doubt in my mind when you're doing it, you're thinking, I'm trying to help the Eibishter's kinder, I'm looking after the children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you know the nachas ruach that the Eibishter gets, and the schar that you get is increased, I don't know how many fold. I'm so jealous. And recently I heard also you give out loans." He goes, "No, Rabbi, those loans, they're small loans, it's not..." He says, "One second, Eid's stuck. He needs a little bit of money to keep taking over. And he comes to you, and I have no doubt in my mind when you write the shtar, you say, 'Rabbeinu Shlomo, I'm doing this to give you nachas ruach, I'm looking after your kinder,' and your shchar is increased on Hashem when you do that. Pasha, I've been thinking the last few days, I want to give you a bracha, v'arichas yom, v'atzlocha, and tell you that I'm jealous of you." And with that, I wished him atzlocha, and he left. This Yid, Rabbi Gamliel Rabinovich's father and him, each had their path, which led them eventually after the war to Yerushalayim. And this Yid said, the next Shabbos, went to shul, went to daven. Before Shabbos, the rest of that week, every time a Yid came in, he was about to make the concoction, he thought, "You know what? If I think that I'm giving nachas ruach to the Rebbeinu Shlomo, the Chavetz Chaim said it increases my schar. It's kedai. May as well do it." He said to the Rebbeinu Shlomo, "I'm doing this to give you nachas ruach, I'm looking after your kinder." The next person that came in, the next loan that he gave, that Shabbos he went to shul, he went to daven, went home, had something to eat, went off to his pharmacy. He said he's putting the key in the door of the pharmacy. And suddenly the thought fleets through his mind, "One second. The next Yid that comes in, what am I going to say? Rabbeinu Shlomo, I'm giving you nachas, but he doesn't want me to be here on Shabbos." Put the key back in his pocket and went back home. To the next Shabbos, he didn't even go to his pharmacy. Rabbeinu said his father told him, "Gekent der Yid." And when he lived in Yerushalayim, he was makpid in every halacha, kalo kabachamur. In everything. From what? From the Chavetz Chaim. He could give teichacha. Oh, he was Noach. Eile told us Noach. You know how? Because he was Noach. And in fact, later on in the parasha, we say that Noach, you see, the fact that he was b'menucha was a siman to us that he had emunah. a person who has emuna and to the level that Noach had it, that he was always b'menucha. There was an extremely high level of emuna. I later on in the parasha it says that Noach was miktane amona, mamin beina mamin. So we don't have time tonight to go into it. There's a beautiful time. Have a look at the minor in the Shrub Shimon Schwab's Mayon Beis Hasheva on this week's parasha, where he's masbir that when a novi has a nevuah, Kolzman, he doesn't say the nevuah, he doesn't articulate the nevuah, the nevuah is not going to happen. That's famously the one of the we talk about this every year on Tisha B'Av, that there was a Gilgal of the person who killed Zechariah that came back in various stories as a dibuk, and he told, eventually he ended up, I think, by the Koshnitz Magid. And when the Koshnitz Magid started to speak to him and try and find out who he was, he told the Koshnitz Magid, I was the person who hit Zechariah Hanavi. I was the first one. When Zechariah Hanavi came to the first Beis HaMikdash, and he started to tell us that if we don't do tshuva, it was on Yom Kippur, and he was the Kohen Gadol in the Beis HaMikdash, and if we don't do tshuva, then we're going to suffer. I went and I hit Zechariah Hanavi. And when I hit him, everyone else hit him. Eventually we killed him, and that was the blood that was bubbling there until the Mezadon came and killed so many people. That's that story. So I was the first one who hit him. So he says, the Koshnitz Magid silenced everyone there, and he says, I want to be Melamed Tzchus on this Neshama. I want to tell you why he hit him. He didn't hit Zechariah Hanavi's son. The Dibuk said to him, do you know what kids in my door knew? Well, you the Koshnitz Magid don't even know. So he said, I want to be Melamed Tzchus, why this person hit Zechariah Hanavi. He said, Kol Zman that the Novi doesn't say his Nevuah, then it doesn't happen. He's being over on a lav, he's being kovish nevuah. So, well, that's Yonah Hanavi's cheshbon. He has a nevuah to go and say. He said, you know what, I'm being moser nefesh for Klal Yisrael. I'll be over on a lav, and Allah, I'll suffer for it. But it's better that than Klal Yisrael suffering. This yid went and he hits Zechariah Hanavi. Don't say out your nevuah. If you say out your nevuah of churban, then it's going to happen. That's not the way to do it, because the Rebbeinu Shagai hits cheshbon. So, but that's what he tried to do. Noach was miktane amona mamin ve'ena mamin. On the one hand, he was mamin; he knew this is a nevuah. On the other hand, he was ena mamin that he should say it because he didn't want to articulate it. So that it shouldn't happen, and that's why he, till the last second, he didn't tell his family to even go into the table. No, don't go. He didn't give over that nevuah. Miktane amona, because like that person, it's a chayyim. That's not all we do. The Rebbeinu Shlomo says, do something, you've got to do it.
What did he tell him when he was building the table?
Said the Rebbeinu Shlomo said that we've got to do tshuva because it could be that he could bring a marble, but he knew that he would be saved from that nevuah, and he knew that he had to go in before that to happen. He was trying to be kovish. Was have a look there. It's beautiful. It's actually a beautiful shtick of Ma'amei Shrevi. He brings Naam Elimelech and the Rebbe of Zisha. So it's a good one to see when the Rav of Crown Heights of Washington Heights. Sorry, when the Rav of Washington Heights brings the Rebbe of Zisha and the Naam Elimelech. Al Kapanim. That was so Noach. In order to be a mamin of that level. When one is a mamin on that level, when a mamin to the degree that he's a novi, then he has menucha sanefesh the whole time. It's pashut noyach. And the noyach, the menucha that a person has, is a simon and a siva. It's a simon that they have emuna. That's how they remain in that calm state the whole time. And it's a siva to give others a feeling of emuna. That's the Dora Flog at the end of the parasha were completely the opposite. Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld once was talking to the head of state. I can't remember who it was. In those days when the heads of state used to come to visit, they actually also got to speak to the Rav of Yerushalayim. It was a very different type of world back then. And the president of Czechoslovakia was called Thomas Masaryk. Some of us still remember that name. And he came to visit, and so Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld said to him, you know Parshas Noach? At the end of Parshas, most of those people were intelligent in those days, and they knew at least most of the Old Testament, if not a good chunk of it. He said, you know, at the end there, by the Tower of Babel, the Torah relates to us about every single article that was used in the building. Who cares what they told each other? Who cares how they made the mortar and how they made the bricks and where they did it? Well, what's the relevant to us? The fact is, they try to rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, led by Nimrod, and where it happened. What is all the significance? He said the significance is very significant. The Torah is telling us there were people in that door who wanted to eradicate from the fabric of mankind any type of emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nimrod Baroshon, that was part of his merit. He wanted it. We don't need the Rebbeinu Shalom for anything. We're going to make our own mortar. We're going to make our own bricks. If you're trying to make a tower that reaches the sky, you use this noodle and go on the top of a mountain, find a plateau at the top of a mountain and start there. No, you know where they went to? They went to Bovel. Outside Eretz Yisrael, Bovel is the lowest lying place. Rashi at the beginning of the parasha says that one of the explanations of the word Mabul is Shehoivil. It transported everything. Where to? To a place called Shinar. Which is Bovel. Why is it called Shinar? Shenina Rusham Kol Mesa Mabul. Everything from the Mabul went there because the water goes from a high place to the lowest place. Everything ended up in Bovel. Where did they go and build their tower of Bovel? From the lowest point in the world. We don't want any help from our Kodesh Baruch. We're going to do this all on our own. We don't need him. That was the defiance and ripping out of anyone in the world, the belief from anyone in the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has an influence on our lives, resulting from which they were dispersed across the world. Agav, the Medrash says that some of them were made into elephants, some of them were made into monkeys. So Darwin was like, he was completely wrong, but he wasn't so far off. Just got it the wrong way around. We didn't come from monkeys, monkeys came from us. Those that were dispersed at that time of the said Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, that's why the Torah tells us all these details. To show, one second, where are you getting these things from? So even then, ultimately, if they would have looked back a little bit further, they would have realized, well, where did we get the mortar from to make the bricks? So that's from our Kodesh Baruch Hu. Where did the ground come from that we say, where's the ground come from that in the end of the day it's going to be the foundation of where we're building this tower? That is from our Kodesh Baruch Hu. But they did whatever they could to try and erode that. And what happened? Initially they started off, but when someone started to pass the wrong thing that was asked for, the guys lost their cool. The complete opposite of Emunah. It didn't work out for the way they planned. What happened? They lost it. What would Noach have done? He would have been totally Noach. His Emunah, that's divinely sent. That's the Eibishter wants. I asked for a hammer and he passed me a bucket. Obviously that's what the Eibishter wants. Explain it to him, find out why. But he would have been Noach. When someone is Noach, not only is it the simon that they are ma'aminim in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it has an influence then on other people that causes them to be ma'aminim in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And those are the two opposites at the beginning and the end of the parasha that we see, which influence our emunah. Talking about emunah, it's the Ben Ishchai related. The Ben Ishchai said over a story, he said, you know, our emunah, as we know, our emunah is steadfast. We know that our Torah is MS. We know Ma'amad Arsina happened, resulted from which we know that everything in the Torah is MS. Other religions are not as strong about their, or nowhere near as strong about their munah as we are. But Ben Ishchai would say over there was a Yid who just before Pesach, he was so destitute. He had no money, had nothing. Didn't have money to buy chometz, let alone to have chometz, let alone to buy matzahs. What should he do? He was trying to think. He just said to Rosh Hashanah, you know, I want to die. I can't live anymore. I just got... So he thought, you know, how am I going to do it? So he thought he had an idea. He's going to walk into the Christian quarter. They hate the Jews. If they see me walking around in their quarter, they'll probably kill me. So he walked around there for a few hours. He saw no one batted an eyelid at him. So you know what? Maybe you know what I really need to do is I need to go inside the church. If they see me, there's a Jew inside the church, they're going to kill me. He went inside the church. There was no one there. He starts walking around. He can't believe what he sees, though. The wealth and the gold and the red material So he thought, you know what I'll do? I'll go right in front of the idol, right in front of the tailor, and right in front of the cross. If they see me in front of the gold cross, and they come and catch me, they're definitely going to kill me. What's a Jew doing there? And he goes in there. Still, there's no one around. It's all quiet. No one's there. So you know what I'll do? I'm going to make a noise. If I make a noise, someone will come. He walks into another chamber. He's looking around for somewhere where he can... walks into the inner chamber. One of the chandeliers is... Listen, you know what? If I pull this one down, it's going to come crashing down. It will alert everyone. They'll come. He goes, climbs up, finds some sort of ladder, climbs up, pulls it off the wall. Didn't make any noise. And he thought to himself, "Sugar binich, I'll take this home. This is going to sort me out." So he takes his coat off, covers over the chandelier, and runs back home. Goes to his friend, the uncle down the road, and says, listen, you know, the blacksmith, he says to him, I need you to do me a favour, I need you to make me a few gold bars. I've got a chandelier. Don't ask me where it comes from, it's an heirloom. I need you to sort it out for me. You make me 4 gold bars, 1 will be yours and 3 will be mine. But anyway, it didn't take long for them to figure out after a few days that this chandelier is missing. So the cardinal goes to the king, he says, listen, I don't know, this has been, it's obviously been stolen by a Jew. It doesn't make sense. If it's not been stolen by a Jew, the Jews will work out where it's gone. So let's make a decree that if they don't give it back to us, we're going to kill all of them. Give them a week. If they don't find out for us where it is, we'll kill all of them. So that year, the Rav made a takana. That year, Cholamoyed, it's a Cholamoyed of no eating, it's Cholamoyed of fasting. We need to find out where it is. Look, this year comes into the Rav, he says, listen, you don't need to fast. I took the chandelier. So don't worry, I'll go to the king. Okay. The less braver, so off he goes, to the king, comes outside the palace, the guards, what are you doing? I need to speak to the king. What about, there's this chandelier that got stolen, big, already had become big news by then. Okay, so he gets an audience with the king. So he walks into the king. He says to the king about that chandelier that the king wants to know about. Well, I stole it. The king said, I'm not buying that. You come here, you're making yourself as a carbon for all the Jews. I know how you do. You give up your lives for each other. No chance. So he says, no. I'll tell you my whole story. And I'll tell you exactly why I took it. But I need the archbishop to be here, not just the cardinal and the bishop. All the top guns from the clergy, they've got to be here and hear my story. All right. King calls them all in, has an audience with them. This guy gets up and he says, look, I've got to tell you, I'm destitute. I've got nothing. I was dying. I had nothing to eat. My God wasn't answering me. So I thought, I'd try your God. Came in, I started to speak to him. I started crying. I couldn't believe it. He's so benevolent. It's even someone who's not a non-believer. Who doesn't. And he said, my son, come here. You know, I've got something for you. And I came closer. And he says to me, I saw he's got a heart of gold. He says, look, you know what? Take the golden chandelier, take it home, do with it what you need to do with it, and it's yours. I never believed any of this, but I see your God is really the real deal. He's the real deal. He's the one. You got to understand, he gave it to me. That's why I took it home. The king looks at the archbishop. The archbishop looks at the king. The archbishop said to the king, I just need to go out with the cardinal for a minute. They go outside, confer. They say, listen, what do we do here? You know, if we come in and say it's rubbish, we know it's rubbish. We know our God, he don't talk, he don't do nothing, he ain't got a heart of gold, so certainly not. But if we deny this, it's going to make, I mean, we're going to lose our business, we're going to lose our position. The whole way they walked in and they said, listen, if God said you can keep it, my friend, you can keep it. Off we went home and the whole thing. The Ben Ish Chai said, that's how strong their emunah is. That's how strong it is. And come the end of our parasha, incidentally, the whole story of Ur Kasdim, a famous story, we all got taught this story in Cheder, Avraham Avinu was thrown into Kibosh HaNa'ish. It's hinted to in one word in the Torah. The whole story is not written in the Torah. The word Ur, the fire of Kasdim. That's the fire of Kasdim? Ah, yeah, Avraham came out of Ur Kasdim. Where's it written? It's not written in the Torah. Okay, the Ramban explains why not. Over that story, Avraham Avinu was prepared to give his life up. The first ma'amin that there was, prepared to give his life up for his emunah. Why? Because for our emunah, there is nothing else. That's why Avraham Avinu was called Avraham HaIvri. We are all on the Ava. We're on the other side, we're completely different. It's actually in Russia, the name coined for Jews by Jews, by the communists, is Ivrei. Ivri, Tucker, they're different, they're on the other side. And the communists themselves did us the biggest service by keeping such meticulous records of every person. One of the things apparently I heard that they did is that no one has surnames. Your surname is your father's name. So someone who's called Avramovich, because his father was Avram, right? The next door down, the grandchild, he's called Chaimovich because his father's Chaim. The first cousins don't know they're related. That was what they knew. The Yidden who were there in the think tank, in that first engine of communism, knew that they had to, this fabric of connection that we have amongst us, they're going to try and take it away from us. But today, in the last 20 years, when people have been chosen with Chuba and coming back, and we were trying to work out who belongs where and who belongs to who, it's so meticulously recorded that we know exactly who's a Yid and who's not a Yid and exactly what their lineage is and who's related to who. That's Machzor HaTorah LeYoshna, that's how they did it. But we are everywhere on the other side. And that's our emunah. Our emunah is so strong in the, not only in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but in the Hashkocha Protis that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for every one of us. One of the things that Noach did when he, maybe just before we go to that, I have a minute. The Ramban says the reason why the story of Ur Kasdim isn't recorded in the Torah, and with that many other nisim, The Torah is not a storybook. It doesn't tell us stories. If it did, it would have got the whole Sefer HaYosha is full of stories, not the one of Rabbeinu Tam. There's a Medrash, Sefer Midrashim, Sefer HaYosha. Fascinating stories. All of them are omitted from the Torah. The Ramban says, any nes that wasn't predicted beforehand that it was going to happen is not recorded in the Torah. Because someone may come along and say, they'll rationalize it. They'll be mefakpik. It wasn't such a nes. The biggest example is Yocheved was 130 years old when she gave birth to Moshe Rabbeinu. Yeah, Klal Yisrael were in Mitzrayim for 210 years. Moshe Rabbeinu was 80 years old when they left. And Yocheved was born Ben HaChomis as they entered. So she was born at the beginning of 210 years, and her son was 80 when they left. So she must have been 130 when she gave birth to him. 40 years older than Sarah Yemenu. The whole hullabaloo about Sarah Yemenu. Not a word about Yocheved. Says Ramban, why? Because about by Yocheved, before she gave birth, there was no prediction. No one came along and predicted it. By Sarah Yemenu, there was. People knew about it before it happened. And since there was known about before it happened, no one could come and be mefakbe. What are they going to say? Obviously, whoever's in control of the nature of the world is running the show. The same with the Esa Makkos, and the same reason for why the Makkos that were Alayom, which were four, fivefold, what happened, are not, because they weren't predicted, so therefore they're not recorded in the Torah. So Urkastim, which wasn't predicted, is only hinted to, it's not written in the Torah. That's part of it, again, which instills in us the Amunah of what it is. And then every story that's written in the Torah is chosen, and each story that follows the other story is chosen, as we'll see, Beis Hashem, next week. All the stories that happen at the beginning of Parashas Lech Lecha are all events that followed one another, which show us how Nimrod was trying to get his back on Avraham Avinu, and each time HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes Avraham Avinu victorious. Beis Hashem, we'll see if we have time for that next week. When Noach came out of the Teva, the Apostle tells us that the first thing he did was to plant his vineyard. The Torah wasn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Torah is not very complimentary about that being the first thing that he did. Where did he get? Vayochel Noach Isha Adoma Perek Tes Pasuk Chof. He did a Maisa Chulin. Vayita Korim, and he planted a kerem. Where did he get Rashi's bottle? Where did he get the vine? Oh, so Rashi says, Kishanichnas the teva, Hichnis imoi zmoiris vichure te'enim. Why he brought those two things? A very interesting Sif Shachamim about the te'enim, where he got why dafka that as well as the vine. The Balaturim says that there's gimel b'masorah. In the masorah, there are three times vayita. One is in Parshas Bereishis, Vayita Hashem Elokim Gan Be'eden. One is in our Parsha, Vayita Korem. And the other one is later on in Parshas Vayera, Vayita Esha. Avraham Avinu planted in Esha. Says the Balaturim, Dosh Rabbi Seinu, Pirkei Rebbeleza, Perek Chof Gimel, Meheichon Lokach HaNetiyah. Where did Noach get his Netiyah from to build the vine, to plant the vine? Where did Avraham Avinu get his Netiyah from to plant his Esha? Vechin Avraham, Lokach Ha'eshel me Gan Eden. Meheichon lokach ha'netiyah, where did Noach get his netiyah from? He took it from Gan Eden. Originally from Gan Eden. How, what? I don't know. But they obviously knew where the entrance to Gan Eden was. The Torah Parashat Bereishis says there are these four Nahoris that are Yotzei me'eden. They knew how this is where it came from. It's a fascinating thing that we see over here that both Avraham Avinu and Noach had plantations or had saplings from Gan Eden. That means you've got something from Gan Eden. That is the Makor HaKoil. You can do with it and obviously the Nisoyan then is going to be, you can either do something tremendously great, or you can really mess up. And the Torah tells us that Noach missed it. Vayit HaKerem. He could have done something much greater with it. What? I'm not sure. Avraham Avinu went to Vayit HaEsha. He built from that his Esha. That was the, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives all of, we all have gifts from Gan Eden. Every talent that a person has, every koyach that a person has, there's a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The gifts is as gifts from Gan Eden, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and our life is a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we need Siyata Deshmaya to be noteya of those koyaches that we're given in the right places. So use that koyach that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us from Gan Eden to put into the correct place. Just to end off with the last pasuk of last week's parasha says, we quote this every year, that Rachaim HaKadosh says there are certain mitzvahs, that when we do those mitzvahs, we are motzachim be'ine Hashem. What are those mitzvahs? The Ebeshah didn't tell us which ones they were, because otherwise we'd be busy doing only them, and we neglect the others. But there are mitzvahs with which we're motzachim be'ine Hashem. Noach did those mitzvahs. The Sefer Haredim says, V'noyach motzachim ein Hashem. How? Eila told us noyach, noyach. One of the ways of being motzachim ein Hashem is by being noyach. And every year we say with the Chida says that the Yetzirah knows that whenever there's an opportunity for bracha, there's only one kli machzik bracha that HaKadosh Baruch has for us. And whenever the Satan, the Yetzirah, knows that we've got opportunity to receive bracha, he'll do whatever is within his power to reduce the shalom. Says the Chida, therefore, it's quoted by the Ben Ishchai, from Chatzos and Erev Shabbos to the Atom and Zmein Havdalah, one should be Nizar Bezahirus Merubah, not to allow anything to ruin one's equilibrium of shalom. You know, somehow in the week, Megitzach HaEtzah, with the windows and the places, it's always Shabbos where it kicks off. Around the Shabbos table, okay, we all know how it goes, but we've got to try as much as we can, that on Shabbos, because Shabbos is the Makor HaBracha, so the Sultan will do whatever he can to eradicate from us Shalom, that we shouldn't have the Klimach Sik Bracha. Therefore, we've got to be Noach. The V'Noach Motzachim in Hashem. How? By being Noach. By being Noach, we're Zoichet to all the Brachot. So, B'ez Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should give us the Siyata Dishmaya, that we should be Noach, we should be able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Yad in everything that we do, which will instill within us an Emunah Shlema and Emunah Tahira, that we are Noach, and that therefore has an effect on others. Our emunah should be strengthened, and we should be zeichet to them all the matnas chinam with chayin from our Kadosh Baruch Hu constantly. Thank you for coming. Thank you.